Prescription painkillers are recognized as a major factor in making opioid addiction and death into a national health crisis. It's a crisis that shows signs of worsening during the COVID-19 pandemic. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services reported last week that between March and mid-July, there were 325 suspected overdoses from opioid drugs in Wisconsin alone. That's more than twice the number from the same time period last year. An NPR investigation found that despite more awareness about the way drugs like OxyContin and oxycodone can fuel addiction, they're still being prescribed at rates far higher than before the opioid boom began in the 90s. Medical experts say that while there's been some progress, more needs to be done to provide alternatives to drugs that are now firmly part of medical culture and training. Ryan Mann is an NPR correspondent covering issues related to addiction. Ryan, thank you for joining us.
Hi, Keely. Thanks for having me.
Certainly. We've seen a dip in the amount of opioid pills being prescribed, but what's out there, I mean, it's still pretty staggering. Give us a sense of how many opioid painkillers are prescribed to people.
Well, the two things that really surprised me, and when I started looking into this, I did not expect to find this in 2020, that this was still happening. First of all, physicians, surgeons, dentists, other medical providers are still well over twice the number of opioid medications that they would give out per capita before the opioid boom began. So nationally, it's still kind of a go-to tool. And a lot of experts say way too often it's the go-to tool that these medical providers reach for. But the other thing that we found looking at this is that in parts of the country, almost county by county, there's been no cutback at all. In fact, in some places, in some medical specialties, the amount of opioid medications being prescribed has actually increased or has at least stayed the same. And so a lot of people listening may be in a part of Wisconsin where it's still really elevated. Other people may be in a part of the state where the reforms have really taken root. So that's one thing that's pretty confusing for people consuming healthcare is it's hard to know what physicians are going to be doing when you walk into a doctor's office.
Right, because they're trying to treat pain. That's one of the things that they've been trained to do is if someone says they're in pain, you should try to lessen their pain. And one of the ways has been opioids. But now we've created this problem. What kind of effort have you seen from medical organizations up until now to encourage or maybe even require doctors to prescribe fewer opioids?
Yeah, there has been this enormous kind of cultural debate within medicine, within the healthcare community about exactly what the approach should be. Because you're right, Keely, this is a complicated thing. Pain, it turns out, is an incredibly difficult thing for physicians to deal with, for dentists to deal with. And so there is this kind of raging debate within the industry. You know, how often should we use this? What level is appropriate to cut back to? So in 2016, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention put out guidelines. They're not mandatory rules, but they're guidelines for how often these medications should be used. And what NPR found is that physicians and dentists regularly blow past those guidelines. They either ignore them or in some cases they're not aware of them. And so the American Medical Association and other groups have tried to educate more doctors, to get more doctors to be more cautious, more judicious is the term that's often used. But what we found really is that a lot of these physicians who were trained, again, during that opioid boom time, this is part of the way that they were educated, part of the way they learned to think about pain is if a patient says, I'm in pain, doctor, you know, they've got to reach for some tool. And often they think that opioids are still the best option, despite all the deaths and all the addiction.
Brian Mann is an NPR correspondent covering issues related to addiction. And we're talking about his reporting into the opioid crisis, which is only getting worse because of the COVID-19 pandemic. And Brian, if doctors know that this is a problem and yet we're seeing higher rates of prescriptions, you mentioned medical culture and training being a factor, but there are other reasons experts cite for why the problem is so persistent. What did you find?
Yeah, this part is actually pretty scary. It turns out that at the same time that we've been saying, look, we've got to get these medications off the market and out of people's medicine cabinets because they're highly addictive, there's a high association, even a single prescription can result in long-term opioid use dependency. But it turns out opioids are super convenient for the medical industry, right? They're quick to prescribe. Despite some increase in regulation, they're still relatively quick to prescribe to people. It's much easier to hand somebody a bottle of pills than to try to arrange for physical therapy or some other treatment options, which in many, especially rural areas, often those alternatives aren't even available. And so you have healthcare systems where there is this kind of incentive to keep using these pills. And then deeper into the system, there are still insurance programs that don't cover alternatives to opioid pills. So you'll have a patient coming in and saying, look, I've got this terrible lower back pain. Most medical literature says opioids are not the safest, best treatment for lower back pain, chronic lower back pain. But you know what? Your insurance doesn't cover these other, better, safer things. And so, you know, maybe the opioids are the best thing on this day that I can do for you. These pills, even after all the deaths, and remember, we've had 250,000 Americans die from prescription opioids alone, just these pills, despite all that death and all the harm that's been done to communities, these pills are still deeply kind of wired into the system. It's been very hard to kind of untangle them from surgery units, from people doing dentistry. It's still very much part of the culture of American medicine.
You also hit on the word convenience, and you write that someone gave you an explanation that if the first option when prescribing something is to prescribe 28 pills, physicians might be less likely to scroll down and pick 12. So they'll just prescribe 28 because it's time and they need to keep moving. And so we're just flooding more people with this. This is real.
Yeah, this is another really disturbing thing that I found. This is really shocking, is you realize that physicians and other healthcare providers in our system, our generally for-profit medical system, they are incredibly busy people. Like their time is allotted in minutes or even seconds through the course of the day. And so they're making these life and death decisions on all kinds of things. It's not just opioids. But when it comes to deciding about how many pills to give, yeah, they're going to just hit a drop-down menu option, and if it says 28 pills, they'll go with that rather than maybe they only need 5 or 4 pills, but they just reflexively pick the easiest one on the screen. And I learned, Keely, another thing from a number of people I talked to. There's actually a trend among some healthcare providers to write bigger prescriptions of opioids because it's too time-consuming to have the patients keep coming back for new prescriptions. So if somebody leaves your surgery unit, rather than giving them a prescription for 5 pills, which may be all they need, you give them a bottle of 30 pills, because that way, whatever happens, they don't come back to you and gobble up more of your precious time. The result is that studies have shown again and again that a huge percentage of the pills that surgeons give out are never used by the people who've had surgery. They wind up getting diverted, sold into the black market, taken by other members of the family, contributing to this larger addiction problem. So that convenience and time issue seems to be a big, big part of this problem.
And you're seeing that not just with physicians, but also in dentistry.
Yeah, this was something that really felt like kind of important public health information for people to have, that dentists are still giving opioids. For one study found, even when pain was expected to be mild, even for, say, routine wisdom tooth extractions, which I grant you, having your wisdom teeth out, that's not doesn't feel like fun. It's not an easy thing. But if you go around the world, you go to Europe, you go to Asia, somebody who has an uncomplicated wisdom tooth extraction, they're sent home with Tylenol, ibuprofen, maybe, you know, an ice pack, and they're going to be unhappy for a few days. In the United States, dentists give out tens of thousands of prescriptions for opioids every year for those same procedures. And so, especially because so many of those prescriptions go to young people, to young men who are particularly vulnerable for opioid use disorder, this is something that I think people really need to be aware of. If your dentist is saying, here's a prescription for opioids, I think it's reasonable for people to ask, do I really need that? Is the discomfort, is the pain going to be that severe?
Yes. Thank you so much, Brian. Brian Mann is an NPR correspondent covering issues related to addiction, and we've been talking to him about the increase in opioid prescription deaths across the country.